For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're listening to Mind Medicine. Mind Medicine. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mind Medicine Program in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm your host, Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur. We're on every week these days. Used to be every fortnight for 2 hours. Now it's a weekly program, and it works very well, so you don't have to wait too long before the next conversation that we have. And in this hour, I'll be introducing you to Dr. Luke Fuller. I look forward to my conversation with him. He is a genius osteopath physiotherapist. He can explain to us what an osteopath is in due course when I introduce him. And this show is all about how and why mind matters. We share with you ideas to provoke new ways of thinking about your life and about life generally. I mean, what is life about? Listen to the news and you go, wow, what is this stuff going on? And of course, news is generally bad news, so you can get overwhelmed by bad news, but there's lots of good stuff happening. We share with you insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And we're delighted to be supporting a wonderful mental health charity, Mind Medicine Australia, through this program and bringing what its work to your attention. It is Australia's leading not-for-profit organization working on the use of medicinal psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies to treat a range of mental illnesses. Mind Medicine Australia exists to help alleviate the suffering caused by our accelerating mental illness epidemic in Australia through expanding treatment options available to patients. The website is mindmedicineaustralia.org. And Mind Medicine was founded 4 years ago by Tanya de Jong AM and Peter Hunt AM. And they happen to be friends of mine, and they are doing great, great work. It has been an amazing four-year journey. They started MMA because under current treatments such as antidepressants, which only manage the illness of mental illness and can have nasty side effects, psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies have been scientifically proven to be a safe and effective cure for anxiety, depression, end-of-life stress, addictions, and post-traumatic stress disorder after just a short treatment program. These medicines are also currently being researched for dementia, eating disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorders, and others. Research from over 160 trials indicates the medicines are safe and non-addictive when administered within a medically controlled environment and lead to remissions in 60 to 80% of patients after just 2 to 3 medicinal sessions. There have been no adverse events in thousands of patients. Just contemplate that compared to the COVID jabs and the remarkable number of adverse events, none with psilocybin and MDMA. Both these medicines have been granted breakthrough therapy status by the FDA to fast-track their approval. Mind Medicine Australia has recently had a big breakthrough with the Therapeutic Goods Administration, and these two drugs will be available from the 1st of July this year and when prescribed by psychiatrists. So please share this wonderful solution to those of your friends who suffer from mental illness in any description. The solutions are coming. And my sense is this is the beginning of better and better solutions for people. The recent pandemic or alleged pandemic has exacerbated Australia's and the world's mental health epidemic. And these treatments do have the potential to cure millions of people who are suffering. Please share the website, mindmedicineaustralia.org, and spread the word. Now, my definition of health, because this show is the Mind Medicine Program, but you know, if you're not healthy mentally, you can hardly call yourself healthy. And when I ask people what is their definition of health, and I'm going to ask Dr. Luke Fuller about this when he gets a chance to say something, but my definition of health is that health is the unique optimum balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. mental, physical, and spiritual. And if you're not mentally well, it's going to have a ripple effect everywhere. If you're not physically well, and Luke is an expert on the physical side, although he's into holistic health as well, you can hardly describe yourself as healthy. So that balance, think about that. You come to this show so you can be inspired for new strategies to say, hey, how can I become healthier mentally, physically, spiritually? This show is also about passion and its impact on your mental health and health generally. My promise to you is this, that I've been a passion provocateur since I left my successful legal career 30 years ago in 1993. So 30 years I've been a passion provocateur and teaching people to pursue their passion, to discover it and pursue. And I say to you, if you are pursuing your passion, you will have less mental health problems. Now, I'm also a freedom warrior. And as a lawyer, I wanted to become a lawyer to protect people, to preserve their freedom against government. And then a passion provocateur, because I want you to be free to pursue your passion. I'm a passionate advocate of health, because if you aren't healthy, if you're in hospital unwell, how can you consider yourself to be free? And then I'm a CEO of an industrial hemp company. Well, hemp is an amazing crop that will help farmers to be successful, family farms to be successful, and family farms who are successful will help to preserve freedom compared to the alternative of corporatized farming, mono product farming over vast swathes of Australia, of your country, and then everybody living in the city. That is not a model that will protect freedom. And lastly, comedy. I happen to be the chairman of the Australian Institute of Comedy, and one of the principles that I adopt in my life is, you know, life is not meant to be taken seriously. Stop taking it so seriously and your mental health will improve. Now, each week I give you an occupational definition, or two occupational definitions. Today's a definition of a pessimist is an optimist with experience. A pessimist is an optimist with experience. And a priest, I can speak on this with some authority because I was raised a Catholic all my life. And a priest is somebody who is called father by everyone except his children, who call him uncle. So there you are. Think about that. Now, before we get to Luke in a couple of minutes, I want to say welcome. It's 5 p.m. or just shortly after 5 p.m. in Melbourne, Australia, where I'm talking to you on April Fool's Day. I'm not going to play any tricks on my guest. There is a great, great musical. For those of you in Melbourne, you've got another 2 weeks to attend a great musical, new musical in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda, called Not Finished With You Yet at the Alex Theatre. It's such a brilliant, brilliant job done by Dick Gross, former mayor of the city of Port Phillip. He wrote the play and he wrote all of the songs. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So check it out over the course of the next 2 weeks. Tonight is a big night because we get an extra night's sleep, everybody. Daylight saving ends in Melbourne, in Victoria, Tasmania, New South Wales. Queensland doesn't have it. So we're going to be on the same time frame as our Queensland colleagues, but extra hour sleep. Clocks go back at 2 a.m. The other thing I want to comment on is Daniel Andrews has come back from China. My standard comment about him as premier of this state is the worst premier in the entire history of Victoria since we were constituted in 1851. The spending by this government is outrageously out of control. And my wife, Julie, shared with me this morning that the huge salaries that are being paid to fat cats in leading government organizations, and then the big build that's going on in this state, is leading to all sorts of ramifications, particularly to home builders being able to get enough staff. And the government's paying way over the odds. Porter Davis Homes, huge home builder, has just gone into administration. And this government is just out of control, ridiculous. And Daniel Andrews doesn't feel he needs to answer to anybody No, it's not a wonder that nobody opposes him. No leader of any major organization in this state has spoken out against Daniel Andrews, and you can see why. Well, I oppose him. I think he's an outrageous disaster for this state, but big business is making great money through Daniel Andrews. And I do ask the question, what was he doing in China? And I accuse him of having nefarious intent in what he's doing with China. We need whistleblowers from the public service in this state. Whistleblowers get protection, and I urge people listening to this show who know anything about what's happening in the Victorian public service and the Victorian government to come forward. Lastly, I want to share a disturbing video, or share information about a disturbing video that I saw on what's happening in Alice Springs and the Aboriginals rioting in Alice Springs. And it's quite remarkable. If you take an interest in what that's about, it's not being covered in the mainstream media, just as you heard in the news. Israeli protests are not being covered in the mainstream media, or the French protests. So we are being fed a whole pack of lies. And all of you listening to TNT Radio, I welcome you, because here there is no censorship. You will find out what is happening. We'll take an interest in what's happening in Alice Springs. Now, we're in the Mind Medicine program. We're in the health space. And Luke Fuller has dedicated his life to health. He has founded Ace Sports Clinic. I'll give you the website to that a bit later. He's the founder and CEO of Ace Sports Clinic, an international group of health and wellness clinics, has clinics in Canada and Australia, in Victoria, and his team delivers personalized holistic healthcare. And I really want, Luke, I'm going to grill you on holistic, because I'm really keen on holistic health, as you heard from my definition of health. But personalized holistic healthcare for all types of sports and musculoskeletal injuries. Pain conditions include low back and neck pain, tennis elbow, and headaches. Luke is an international sports osteopath and physiotherapist and strength and conditioning specialist, and currently works and travels internationally with the ATP Tour of Men's Professional Tennis. He has extensive experience working in sports medicine and also travels privately with an elite Ironman triathlon. Now, Luke, you might not know that I'm an Ironman, but I've been doing triathlons for 38 years since my first triathlon in November 1985. And I've won a couple of races, but I'm not an elite. And the only other thing, in terms of the Ironman journey, I've done one. That was back in 1989. And having five children, it certainly militates against my ability to do the right amount of training. And so he has lots of whole range of specialties. We'll find out what those are. Well, Luke Fuller, welcome to the Mind Medicine program.
Thanks, Charles. Great to be with you today.
You're what an amazing story. Now, please, I really want to go right to this whole question of osteopath and physio, because I've been to osteopaths, but I wouldn't be able to describe to people, what does an osteopath do? Because I've had doctors who I have little regard for, but doctors go, oh, osteopaths, you know, they poo-poo osteopaths and chiropractors, and they go, oh, no, we, the doctors, are the only ones who we know. So what's an osteopath versus a physio? And then we'll unpack holistic health.
Yeah, certainly, Charles. I think the unique combination complements each other. It's a question that I've been asked many times before and probably answered a little bit differently each time, but I'll take you back to my sort of beginnings. I did a science degree and I was always fascinated with the human body and how it worked, both mechanically and physiologically. And I always wanted to be a physio, so I sort of knew about that in the sports realm and things like that. But as I finished my science degree majoring in anatomy, and my fascination with the body was growing and growing, the theory and I guess the philosophy of osteopathy made a lot of sense to me. I think it's more holistic. It recognizes the body's structures and function is interrelated. It recognizes all the systems having an impact on each other, and primarily treats the musculoskeletal system for you know, pain or other symptoms that could be stemming from that. Now, just from a purely anatomical perspective, if we look at low back pain, it's sort of in the area of the kidneys, it's sort of in the area of the large intestine, you know, it's sort of in the area of, you know, some genito-urinary tract as well. So there's lots of connections from the spine, there's lots of connections from the fascia, there's lots of connections from the nervous system, and it recognises that connection. Now, I did the osteopathy course. That was amazing. It's really based
and where,
on...
And where did you do osteopathy?
I did that at Victoria University after mm-hmm. I'd finished my science degree at Melbourne. And, yeah, it's largely based on a palpatory diagnosis, and we do a lot of orthopedic tests and special tests to work out what's going on in the body. You know, so it looks at skin, it looks at muscle, it looks at joint, it looks at bone, all those things connected. But as I was practicing, I realized that I was starting to see a lot of, you know, spinal conditions, which is fine. That's our bread and butter. But as a public perception, people didn't realize that osteopaths could treat so much more than just back and neck pain. So being the sort of motivated person that I am, and I thought the public perception will take time to change, I actually combined the two and did physiotherapy. And that's, you know, I think opened a lot of doors to me in the sports, because it's probably more recognised and more aligned with, let's say, traditional medicine. You know, like you said, your GP will refer to a physio, even though they may not know what they're going to do. So, you know, I think that opened a few more doors in sport, because I had a real passion for sport and elite performance. So it's a unique combination. I'm probably only one of the few people in the world that has that combination, but I will say it's very complementary. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a collection of techniques that we use to help people heal and improve their body's performance.
So, Luke, this I'm really interested in the I was reading on your website, which, by the way, is acesportsclinic.com.au for Australia, and we have listeners all around the world. So for those in Toronto, Canada, it's acesportsclinic.com. So one's .com, one's the other one's .com.au. There are, when I have a sore calf, you know, that it's not necessarily just a problem at the calf. And I was talking to a dentist, and there's some amazing problems that go from poor dental health into other parts of your body. So, you know, it's you touched on that a little bit. It's a bit of a mystery, isn't it? Finding out if you've got pain somewhere, where that's precisely coming from.
Absolutely. And our role is, we're sort of detectives really in the body, and asking those questions that will, you know, elicit, you know, information from the client where it's coming from. And I always say to people, look, you know your body better than anyone else. So, you know, please share with us what you're feeling, when it started. And look, lots of times I see people for, you know, fourth or fifth opinions when they've sort of failed in their care. And I often find the missing link is they just haven't been listened to, and they have the answers a lot of the time. But you're right. I mean, you can have a local problem in your example, you know, a calf strain or some calf tightness. That may be coming, you know, from the calf, from some overload in running or training. It might be coming from a worn down shoe. There might be some connection with the back. And often when you ask the right questions, people will sort of recall things that they may not think are significant at the time. You know, maybe 3 weeks ago, you know, I started to feel a little bit of back tightness that went away, and then for no reason my calf started to you know, be tight. You know, they may have just got off a plane. We might be thinking something more vascular. So they might be sitting all day and not moving, and we know with that calf muscle pump, that's imperative for good circulation, good oxygenation around the body. So if you're sitting all day, and this is why they say sitting's the new smoking, not getting that calf muscle working, you're not getting blood flow, you're not getting nutrients, you're not getting oxygen around the body. So that's not only going to impact your calf, that's going to impact your focus, your concentration, and your mindset. So, you know, the body is, you know, just with those simple things, is so interconnected.
So, Mike, well, then let's go to a real problem area. So sitting is the new smoking, everybody. Take a note of that. We've got to go to a break, which was a short break. I'm with Dr. Luke Fuller. Luke, I want you to think about headaches, because this is a real problem for people who can't seem to solve their headaches. And I'm Charles Covess. This is the Mind Medicine Program. Luke Fuller and I will be back with you after these messages from TNT Radio.
State of the Nation on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Parents' Bill of Rights wins zero votes from Dems, who attack it as fascism, extreme attack on schools. Our House Speaker McCarthy rips extreme minority party after no Dems support Parents' Bill of Rights. Now listen. Parents have rights, their children, parental autonomy. This is just another example. We pay taxes. We do not want to co-parent with the education system. We are in control. Parents are angry. Parents are unhappy. I just gave a workshop two nights ago. The room was overflowing. The parents want answers. The parents want help. They want to do this alone. They don't want the interference. They want their kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. And we know the Dems always go straight to, okay, you're a racist, or, you know, you're a fascist, you're a white supremacist. That's what they do. It's ridiculous. And I am so happy to see parents and caregivers stepping up, reclaiming their children, demanding answers, and they have every right to know what the curriculum is, the books being used. It's a no-brainer. So I say good for all the parents, good for everybody starting to make some noise and demanding answers.
State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Band-Aid has been ripped off. 30% of parents now question the entire vaccine schedule. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Mind Medicine Program. I'm your host, Charles Covess, Australasia's passion provocateur, provoking you to be free to pursue your passion. And my guest is Dr. Luke Fuller, physiotherapist, osteopath. And we're now going to traverse the terrain is the word I was looking for, the terrain of headaches. Luke, tell us about headaches, and, you know, how people can solve their headache problems, because a lot of people have them, and I'm opposed to drug taking.
Yeah, well, as we know, Charles, headaches can be caused by a multitude of things. It can come from, you know, medications. It can come from tiredness. It can come from, you know, muscle tightness. There's a multitude of things, your neck, your back, things like that, but your vision, lots of connections with headaches. But for what we see, you know, a lot of them are really related to the neck and the spine, spinal nerves in the neck. I've had, you know, many patients over the years that have presented with headaches, have had every test under the sun, and, you know, brain scans and blood tests and all sorts of things, and they've been negative, and you know, I sort of say to them, that's great, that's reassurance. And one of the techniques that I find very effective is dry needling for headaches, and going back to that influence and of the musculoskeletal system causing other symptoms, certainly headaches can be one of them. And the upper trapezius muscle, just at the base of your neck, you know, people are sitting a lot, they're at desks, they're stressed, they're not moving. these muscles can get a lot of trigger points, and the dry needling goes in and relieves those trigger points, and often it can actually reproduce their headache. So these people that I'm talking about that I've seen, you know, over the years, when we reproduce their headache with the dry needling, they're probably not that happy with us that afternoon, but certainly they're happy with the result. And you know, they've often been looking for months, if not years, for a solution. So I think as
What is dry needling?
Dry needling's it's using an acupuncture needle. It's more of a medical or an anatomical theory where we go into the trigger points of the muscle, which is a taut band, and those active trigger points can cause pain referral. So like we said, if they're in your neck, they can radiate into your head, they can radiate into your eyes, they can present as headaches. If they're in your lower back, they can present as, you know, sciatica, pain down your leg. So, you know, that they sort of trip the musculoskeletal system and make the muscles become tight. And once we release those trigger points with the needles, it has a big influence on the nervous system as well. And once the procedure is finished and they feel better. So it's very powerful, and it unlocks a lot of chronic pain and tightness.
And how many sessions do you have to have for you know, so let's take someone who's had chronic headaches. Like I've got a friend of mine, chartered accountant, great friend of mine, Tom, a little bit older than I am, and all his life he's had, well, actually, you know, migraines, like serious migraines, and knocks people out, and they've given up looking for solutions. I can't believe they've given up looking for solutions. What's your sense? What's the difference between migraines and headaches? And then how many sessions of dry needling would someone need?
Well, certainly I wouldn't give up, that's for sure, because there's always that holistic approach, as you say. And you know, I don't think one strategy can solve every problem. That's why we need an open mind. But, you know, I think the difference between migraines and headaches is often quite a bit of overlap. That your pure typical migraine often has a vascular component, but it also often has a neck or a, you know, cervical spine component as well. So I typically say to people, you know, we can help you with the musculoskeletal part, the mechanical part, and then we'll find out, you know, what contribution's vascular, what's mechanical. So I mean, it's there's not usually just one style of headache. There's all types. There's a multitude of headaches I won't go into today. But from a simplistic point of view, you know, there's multiple systems that can impact and cause a headache. So, I mean, even the simple one of you're dehydrated and you know, you drink more water and all your cells feel better and the headache goes away, or you're tired and you're squinting at the computer and you have a good sleep and the headache goes away. So, you know, I think that there's some overlap between the two, but typically a classic migraine does have a vascular component, and that may, you know, for example, that could be prevalent, could have a trigger, usually has a trigger, could be, let's say, a female with menstruation, that could be a trigger each month. There could be a food that someone has a trigger for a migraine. But so, you know, we sort of take a multi-pronged approach. We look at posture. I don't think it's ever just the dry needling or one technique. But, you know, forward head carriage, poor posture, not moving, you know, sitting for too long, stressed, all those things can influence it. So I try and, you know, really simplify and change the things that we can, get rid of the symptoms that are, or the, you know, the things that are very obvious, like the muscle tightness or the stiff joints. We can do some manipulation with that and improve someone's posture, and then ultimately things start to improve. So, I think there's got to be a multi-prong attack.
That's very good, a multi-prong. And you said earlier that you know, that your philosophy is to be a detective for the body. And you know, one of the things I say in my work as a passion provocateur is that you and I are weirdos. And then I say, each one of us is a weirdo. Now, you must be looking at people, all of the patients that you've dealt with. I'm going to get to the elite athletes in a moment as to, well, I want to ask you some questions about that. But you know, it's so you study how the body works, but you still have to be a detective because each body is different, isn't it?
Absolutely. And through our observation and asking questions and, you know, well, you detect patterns over the years, you know, your eye becomes more attuned and probably, as you say, you're sitting at breakfast and you're looking at someone's gait and trying to diagnose what's going on. But, you know, I gave up long ago in my gym sessions trying to give advice or diagnose because I just want to focus on my session. But, no, it's a passion of mine to help people. And like you said at the start of the show, if you don't have your health and if you don't have good movement, that restricts your freedom. And one of my strongest values is freedom, and the ability to do what you want, when you want, how you want, relies on good health and a good body, full stop. And if you haven't got that, and like you mentioned, your mental health as well, you're in trouble. So we are detectives. We look at signs from people. We're very attuned with our hands and our palpation. So we get so much information from our hands. Is the muscle tight? Is a person stressed? How's their skin moving? Is it really bound down and tight? And look, that also with circulation, you know, you look at people's feet, some dry skin, some poor nail circulation, all that can be signs of, you know, something more deep, you know, you know, some early onset diabetes or some, you know, some problems with circulation. So I always go back to the simple things. Movement gets blood circulation going, gets oxygen. Our cells at a basic level need oxygen, they need nourishment and movement. So if you have all that, you know, you're sort of on your way. But yeah, so every day we're looking at ways people can move and trying to enhance that. And there's such a big connection more and more every day. I find that I'm zooming in, but I'm also zooming out. So if someone presents with wrist pain, you know, of course I'll look at their wrist. I'll look at their neck, I'll look at their back, I'll look at their breathing. You know, is there something else going on that they're not telling us? And then, you know, how are they feeling as well? You know, trying to get a sense of what else is happening in their life because, you know, at the first time people don't divulge everything with you. And I think part of what we do is really building a strong relationship with our people and getting to know them and really you need the technical skills, of course, but in my mind it's more about the soft skills and really having that empathy and connection with people, letting them feel that they can communicate and give you the most information to help them.
That question of information, I've observed when I go to, and fortunately, well, I haven't had an operation for an overtraining injury. I've broken one collarbone and I've had one set of stitches above my eye for a water polo injury. And I've been training for 38 years since I took up triathlons in 85. I was fit before that, but I went to a whole new level because I'd been playing water polo and I was an international water polo referee. So then I decided to get even more fitter, even more fit, to be precise, proper use of grammar. Now I have friends who have done Ironman and they've had 12 and four, two friends, Graham and Ron, have had 12 and 14 operations, you know, on their bodies. I've had none in my 38 years. Now, so that's number one, and they tell me that I've been training hard enough. I'm proud that my body hasn't broken down, but this question of what, you know, when I come to you as a physio, as an osteopath, and you say, well, what's been happening? I find I've forgotten, and so my question is, you know, you're the detective, but I think that most people can't remember what's happened. So what tips would you give to people you know, if they've got problems, where should they record what's happening to them? Because half an hour later, they do forget. What do you want them to keep a diary, or would that be helpful? Because I reckon it would be.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it comes down to the simple things, and habits and tracking is something that they can do to not only, you know, celebrate their wins and their progress, but also we can then look and see what they're doing wrong. So one great example is a tendon injury. Now, you know, we have to train hard, as you say, but we also have to train smart. Now, when we're in that age group of sort of above 35, we tend to get these tendon injuries if we are overtraining. So our tendons are like springs. They love to be loaded. They love to exercise. But if we overload them, they can start to talk to us with a little bit of pain. Now, what we know in terms of healing them is rest is not the answer. You know, maybe for a very short time, but, you know, you go to your GP or whatever, and they normally just say you got pain, rest. Well, if you come to me 6 months later after a tendon injury, you've slipped down the mountain, and your work to actually recover that is now greater. So, you know, I think we need to be specific in what the diagnosis is. But going back to your point on what could the person do to remember, we often ask people, keep an exercise diary, you know, with your training, bring it in, you know, next week, we'll look at it together. And if your baseline, if you're comfortably doing, let's say, you know, half an hour, and you've got a tendon injury and that's okay, it's sort of a, you know, 2 out of 10, let's say, in pain, you do that for a few days and you know, that's fine. And then, but if you double it, you feel really good and you do to an hour, well, the pain can increase. So going back to our basic principles, and probably to your point, you haven't had many injuries because you've been so consistent. And the consistency is the key, because that builds up a really good, strong base for us to do everything. And look, I don't think it's any coincidence that we see these older, experienced bodies, you know, Grand Slams, you know, I like to say, well, Rafa and Novak are finished. Well, the facts are they've won 16 of the last 19 Grand Slams between them. So to me, that's a long way from finish. But, you know, they've got these hardened bodies that have just done it time and time again, and they've built up a load that they can sustain. Now, a new young player can't sustain that load because they haven't built the body just yet. But, you know, practical things that the average person can use, as we say, an exercise diary to track what you're doing, a wellness, just simple things.
Well, and I also find that when the practitioner asks me, and I've been meaning to come to for you to have a look at my body, Luke, or get one of your team, it doesn't have to be you, but I really do want you to have a look at my body, then you say, well, when does that hurt? And I have a calf problem. So I had a look at your website, which is acesportsclinic.com.au, and you talk about calf. We've talked about calf, and I go, yeah, and when does it hurt, and how much training can you do before it starts to hurt? I can't answer those questions because I simply can't remember. So this conversation with you is reminding me, and I hope it's reminding listeners to keep that diary. So you go, yeah, how often am I getting a headache? How often does my calf hurt? Not just my training, and then link it into my training load.
Well, yeah, that's right. And remember, what we measure, we can manage. If we don't have,
yes,
and you know, so like anything else, we can start small. You know, we might even say, look, out of five being, you know, amazing, zero being terrible, doesn't have to be too scientific. When you wake up every day, rate your sleep. You know, after your training, rate your pain. You know, perhaps 10 being the most pain. You know, when you've had a hard session, rate your muscle soreness and recovery the next day. You know, 5 being, you know, a lot of soreness, 0 being none. So that can give us, we can give you lots of strategies to measure. I more and more, I'm getting more simple every day. I think it's the simple things, but people, as you say, forget things. And I think a lot of the time we overwhelm people. So we give them one thing to work on, do that well, and then we progress. And I think, you know, naturally we want to help people. We want to share our skills, our knowledge, and we really want to get that out. But what I find, and with a lot of our young practitioners, more and more we're doing some coaching to simplify. You know, if you give people four things, you know, they're overwhelmed and they do none. So we're better off just going for the high value. And, you know, every day I have people coming in, you know, doing this exercise, that, I've tried this, that, and everything else. Well, I can't possibly do any more exercise. I don't have time. Well, if we go through them and say, well, look, this is no good for you because of this, it's hurting your back. This one's wasting your time. You don't need to stretch this area. But this one is a high value for you. So I've just cut your exercises in half, focus on these couple, and then we'll progress from there. So I think giving people the direction and the guidance is really important. And then, you know, having that real sort of positive, team approach. I think we're in this together. If you don't do your exercises, I can't succeed. If we don't work as a team, we're not going to achieve our goals. And I guess that's really the thing that I've learned. And I've really, you know, I've been in a lot of teams and high performing teams. And, you know, I know it's teamwork that makes a dream work, but even in the individual sports, you know, you see tennis player, the golfer, you know, they're up there doing, but there's always a stable team behind the best, you know, and they're taking that advice, the tips, they're tracking, they're measuring, so they can make incremental improvements and they know the direction that they're going. So I would suggest to you, start with an exercise diary. And then if you sort of brought that in, or say you're having pain at a certain time with the calf, just jot it down and then bring it into us and we can sort of help you from there.
Very good. I'm with Dr. Luke Fuller, osteopath and physio. Well, I'll do it in the order of qualifications, physio, therapist and osteopath. I'm Charles Kervis, your host. You're on TNT Radio, the place where there is no political correctness, everybody. Go woke, go broke. You don't get wokeness here on TNT Radio. We've got to take a couple of messages and we'll be back with you up until the top of the hour.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Remember when Nancy Pelosi's husband was brutally attacked by an intruder with a hammer? Horrible thing. In response, the left and their media mouthpieces made it clear that if you had ever spoken out against the congresswoman, especially as a politician, commentator, or someone with a high profile, you had Paul Pelosi's blood on your hands for what the criminal attacker had done. But I have heard no such claim made against one of the most famous actresses in the world, political activist Jane Fonda, who, a few weeks before the Nashville shooting, went on The View and suggested murder as a response to pro-life supporters.
We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous... What did you say?
Murder.
Fonda claimed after the show that she was joking, but not while on the show. And I'm not saying that this trans who shot up the school ever saw Fonda's remarks, but you can see the obvious, sick, twisted, dangerous double standard in action. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint,
a global program for digital identity supported by the World Economic Forum, is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it and the dangers it presents to individual privacy and freedom from government control. Australia has a trusted digital identity framework. New Zealand has a digital identity services trust framework. And there's the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. You get the picture. Governments clearly want our trust in this program, and several nations claim adopting digital identities will be voluntary, including Australia. But Australians were told COVID vaccines would be voluntary. That didn't stop the mandates. Australia's Digital Economy Strategy 2030 states we'll be succeeding when, quote, the significant majority of Australians over 18 are registered for MyGovID or other trusted digital identity, unquote. And that, quote, all new businesses are born digital through streamlined business registration. Is this really voluntary?
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
You're back with me, Charles Kervis, at the Mind Medicine Program. I'm with Dr. Luke Fuller, physiotherapist and osteopath. And Luke, I have to tell you that Two of my three granddaughters are listening to us, Miller and Pippa. And I'm hoping to inspire, by listening to you, I'm hoping to inspire them to look after their bodies for the rest of their lives. So, you know, say hello to Miller and Pippa, Luke.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're enjoying the chat.
Now, Luke, tell us about some elite athletes that you've worked with. I'm very impressed on your website, acesportsclinic.com.au. You've got a picture of you working with Novak Djokovic and Rafa Nadal. So, and then who's the elite Ironman? Can you say that, or is that secret?
No, it's no. He's actually I went to Kona, went to the Hawaiian Ironman with Michael Latifi. His brother, actually, Nicholas, was a Formula One driver as well up until recently, but treated him and his family in Toronto, and I was lucky enough to travel around to a number of Ironman with him. But some of the other athletes, I've sort of worked on the men's professional tennis tour now for the last sort of 15 years, treating the likes of Novak, Rafa, Roger, all the great players, and you know, I've been lucky enough to really see what the difference is between the, you know, the elite, the cream of the top, and the others, you know, and I think it's the small things that really make the big difference. It's probably the non-glamorous things done on repeat, but you know, often when we're working with some of the young players, and you know, they say, well, you know, how can I be number one? How can I be like Rafa or Novak? You know, I just say, look, they're there. Take a notepad, follow them around for a day or two, and you'll have all the answers. There's nothing that you can't do. But it's probably just that willingness to do whatever time of the day.
Actually, you know, you made an interesting comment. They do a lot of boring stuff, don't they?
Well, boring to the it's you know, I think the top of the top do the things on repeat that, you know, the average person's not willing to do, and there's a lot of sacrifice, there's a lot of hard work, there's a lot of perspiration, there's a lot of you know, failures, and there's a lot of hours and dedication, and I think, you know, just the recovery, you know. Well, if you finish tennis as a sport where you can play at 11 a.m. in the day, or you can go on court after 11 p.m. So these, you know, the best don't cut corners. They have their routine for recovery. You know, if it's an ice bath, if it's, you know, treatment, if it's going in the hyperbaric oxygen, if it's doing a flotation recovery, you know, that they do it all, and they don't cut corners no matter what time of the day it is. So, I think, you know, I've been really privileged to work with some of these people, and I think anyone can do the extraordinary. It's really just having the belief and the habits, and as you say, some of the things they do are boring on repeat, but they've made them into habits. Mm. And look, there's no one that works harder, and I think that's something in society these days that, you know, I feel is, you know, disappearing, and people get fooled into these quick fix magic things. But, you know, it's mental, it's physical, it's training your mind, it's training your body, it's going through the challenges, and it's getting better and it's improving, and you have to have these challenges to really grow. And I think, you know, you only look at Novak, and to come back and win here in Australia. Forget about the physical part of it, but the mental part of it, and the resilience, and the focus, and you know, the unknown of how Australians in general would sort of welcome him back. I think, you know, that was resounding. I think he stood up as someone that's really true to his values, and you know, I think he's drawn a lot of people to him because of that. You know, someone that stands for something in this day and age is so rare. So, but it's a whole range of things, and I think, you know, it's the one percenters that really make all the difference. And we're just there to
help. That's right, because that's a great example. And you were saying before when you were saying, hey, don't overcomplicate your life and trying to do too many things. So there's that old saying that says less is more. And most people don't understand what it means. Well, you just give us one example. Less exercises gives you more of an outcome because you can do the less exercises better. And the other example, when I'm doing a speech, for example, you know, in speaking at a conference, if I give too many ideas, people just go into a trance. And if you as a physio are talking to somebody and going blah, you know, and so it's very important to understand less is more. And with my wife Julie, with dentists, we help dentists understand. The patients don't understand what you're saying, and I'm sure you have that as well, Luke. You have your patients in Malvern here in Victoria and Toronto in Canada, and everybody, please check out Luke's team. But they don't understand many times what practitioners say, and they come out of the session with you and they say, what did Luke say? And they go, I don't know, because you can't remember something you don't understand.
That's right, and keep it simple, stupid is the what I go to every day, you know, and some people are more visual. We need to take them into the gym and show them in the mirror. Some people are more tactile. We need to sort of touch and help them move their body. Some people like to you know, to have it written down, and then they sort of go over it and they're more analytical. So, but beyond the technical capabilities, I think one of the biggest things we do is communication and getting on the same level and helping the person understand why this is important to them, you know. And it's a great point. And every day I think we simplify it, and there's no need to use a lot of jargon if you're working with a neurosurgeon, obviously they're going to want to talk a lot about the nerves and things. But the average person, they just want the pain gone away. They just want to have a pathway to better health. They just want their problem solved. And that's where we keep it simple, give them one or two things maximum to work on, and try and explain in layman's terms. Now, we use a raft of things. We, you know, try and explain different parts of the anatomy so you can understand, oh, actually that muscle is connected down here, or this muscle does go into the diaphragm and that's how it's affecting your breathing. So, you know, I think that's a great point, that the understanding and helping involving people, and that's really what is get success. And even with the elite athletes, we're doing basic things. We're looking at the kinetic chain. We're looking at how they land. We're looking at energy leaks in their system. Often it's just one weak muscle or a muscle imbalance or something that we fix, and then they can go and do all the great things that they can do. So
here's my suggestion for you. I don't know whether you do it because I haven't had time to come and see you, but when you have a consultation these days, you could literally, each of your practitioners could record a message on the person's phone on voice memo. Here you are. Here's what you have learned today. And, okay, that's what we got. So there's an idea that I reckon would be really easy and not forgettable. Now, we've got a problem, Luke, so that's just an idea. One question, because I've got 3 minutes to the top of the hour, and they're going to throw us off here. What is a book, or who is a person who inspired you in your journey? Because I admire what you've done with ACE Sports Clinics. Where did your inspiration come from?
A person. Well, I guess there's lots along the way, you know, I think. But a person, I would say, in terms of my passion for the body, I sort of had it when I was younger. I think I was always active and always an athlete. But probably Chris Briggs, who was an anatomy professor at Melbourne University, a world expert, so inspiring, so knowledgeable. And he sort of said to me in one of my first year, actually, you know, you don't have the marks to do anatomy. And so I sort of buckled down, and fast forward a couple of years, I was actually tutoring with him. So
what a beautiful example, everybody. When someone tells you you're not working hard enough, you know, many people would collapse, but it got you going. So it's a great example. Now, Luke Fuller, I admire you've done a great job with ACE Sports Clinics, everybody. This is such an important topic because if you are in pain, if your body is not functioning well, it's going to impact on your ability to be successful at work. You can't focus on your work when you're in pain. And so please get an expert. And there's another issue that Chris Briggs, you remind me, that the physios are not all the same. Osteopaths are not all the same. And you have to find someone who understands your body. So Luke Fuller, thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to have you back because I've got about 27 questions I haven't had time to discuss with you. So we'll see you again next time, Luke. And everybody, thank you for being with us on TNT Radio. Please recommend your friends to come and listen to this show, listen to the truth, no political correctness, no woke agenda, live with passion. And if you have any whistleblowers who can blow the whistle on fraud in the Victorian public service, please let me know about it. Have a great weekend. Bye, Luke. Thank you.